Amen.
I'd like you to please turn to Luke chapter 11. In just a moment, I'll be reading verses 5 through 13. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 13. I'm not sure how many of you know just exactly how the 21 days of fasting and prayer began in Fresno. Does anyone know exactly how that's happened? It's about 13 years ago, I think, 12 or 13 years ago, a pastor in one of our smaller churches in town was confronted by some just terrible, tremendously difficult family issues. These are the kind that just sort of stop you, just dead in your tracks, the kind that everything's going well and all of a sudden you hit a wall. And it was like a bomb detonating, and he describes his entire world just being completely rocked. And right around that same time, I think it was the next day, he happened to be watching a pastor on television. Yes, God can use absolutely anything. So he's watching the pastor on television, and the pastor was talking about fasting and praying for 21 days. And as he heard that, reflected on what was happening in his own life, he said, you know, I think I'll do that. And so he fasted and prayed for 21 days. And then made it a habit, not just once a year, but throughout the year, he took 3 weeks at a time to fast and pray that God would resolve the issues that were just continuing week after week, month after month, year after year, to devastate his family. And then as time went on, he began to ask others to pray with him, other pastors. Again, first it was private, and then others joined him praying for their families. And then it went beyond his church. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, it became a citywide movement in Fresno to be in prayer for our churches and for our cities, for our families, and as we've been praying about every dimension of our city. And then last July, a family member came to him. Now, he'd been praying for 12 years. Have you prayed for anything for 12 years? I know some of you have. I know some of you have been praying for family members to come to Christ for more than just a few weeks. I know some of you have been praying for children to return to the Lord. I know some of you have been praying for your jobs, for, again, children, grandchildren. This family member came and said it was as if a fog had been lifted, that it was that these last 12 years, it was like they were blind, and then it lifted. And for the person, it seemed like it was instantaneous. But he had prayed for 12 years. He had fasted and prayed for 12 years. They said that it was as if they had been held captive by the evil one, so they came in repentance, and literally everything has turned around in their family. Everything. Have you prayed for anything like that? I don't think I have. And as I've told you, this is a year I'm trying to focus on prayer to learn how to pray. And you really find out what matters to you by how you pray. See, he prayed for 12 years because his family mattered to him. And he knew it was out of his control to change the circumstances. So I want to ask you, what matters to you that you pray about? What matters to you? See, when we're desperate, we pray. As we've been saying, when it's serious, we fast. When something really matters to us, we pray. Is it your health? Is it the health of a loved one? Is it your finances? Is it a job? Is it your children? Is it the state of our country? What gets you to pray? What matters to you? And if you're not sure what matters to you, what are you worrying about? I find that I can back into what matters to me, what I should be praying about, by what I'm constantly worrying about. I love that expression. Why pray when you can worry? Actually, I don't love it, but I just do it a lot. Is it your parents? Is it your grandchildren? Could it be your marriage? You're praying about your marriage because you want to see your relationship improve. Is it that you might get married? Do you have self-doubt? Is it your integrity? Is your integrity on the line in a particular way that you're concerned about? Have you done something and you haven't come clean on it and you're afraid of being found out? What matters to you? Is it that we get more rain? Is it some decisions that you're facing? Are you lonely? Are you angry about something? See, when we're desperate enough, we pray. I want you to see. Go ahead, don't throw the Bible, not just yet. Read that with me. God does not answer prayer. Say that one more time. God does not answer prayer. Go ahead, read it out loud. He answers desperate prayer. It might be an overstatement, but do you hear that? See, what matters to you? What are you willing to pray for more than a week? What are you willing to pray for that you will actually adjust your life, maybe even adjust your meals to seek God? The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And when he taught them the Lord's Prayer, he continued, verse 5 of chapter 11 in the Gospel of Luke. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See, most of the time, when we think of pests, I entitled the sermon, Be a Pest, we think about controlling pests. We call the pest control people. And I think, actually, Jesus is saying, let's remove the controls. Let's get as many pests as we can. Not like the little ones crawling around, but the ones that stand up, that walk upright. I want to encourage you this morning to understand Jesus encouraging his disciples to be pests. These are people who are prayerful, people who are expectant, steadfast. Remember last week we talked about fast and steadfast, something that can't be moved, and trusting. So be a pest. Say it with me. Prayerful, expectant, steadfast, and trusting. One more time. Prayerful, expectant, steadfast, and trusting. From now on, Jesus is asking you, be a pest. Be a pest. Alexon is super excited over here right now, saying, yes, Daddy, you preached it. I can be it. So he taught them to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, give us our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation. That's Luke's version of what we call the Lord's Prayer. But see, it's not enough for Jesus to have taught them to say a prayer. There's an attitude that underlies prayer that you and I, if we don't get this, we will not pray. Certainly, we won't be praying for 12 years. We will not be pests unless we catch this attitude that underlies how Jesus prayed. Remember, they said, teach us to pray. I mean, John the Baptist, he taught his disciples, would you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray, Jesus. And so he does. And he says, suppose you have a friend. Now, this is one of those absurd stories. Because in the Middle East, one value pretty much trumps all. What is it? It's hospitality, isn't it? It's hospitality. If someone comes to you, boom, it opens it up, right? And it's funny because I think we, in our community, we get this. Because I think some of us are still living 2,000 years ago. Hospitality is king. Hospitality is queen. Someone comes and needs something. Oh, here, let me just get something out. And before you know it, the table is completely full. I remember you've heard me say that when an Armenian family came from Armenia in the early 90s, they had nothing, absolutely nothing. They came as refugees, and they said, Greg, would you come? We want you to meet our son. Okay. Actually, Bodvili Bernard was translating for me and said, Greg, go. And so I went, and it was 3 o'clock, and they said, Kich mahatsku denk. Okay, I understood that. We'll have a little bread. Well, so like a dummy, I ate lunch that day at noon. I got there at 3, and kich mahats, a little bit of bread, you know, bigger than, like 5 times the size of this communion table. It was full of food. They were refugees who had nothing, but hospitality meant everything. If I had shown up at their house at midnight, guess what? That door would have been flung open. Okay, Bobby, just wait just a second. And it would be ready to go. Oh, you want to take it? Here, let me get the to-go boxes. And would have been all set. See, Jesus is saying, if you had a friend and you went to him at midnight and he said, don't bother me, and he denied you, you just kept waiting. Not because he's your friend, but because of your shameless audacity. Shameless audacity. If you don't speak Armenian, you know what shameless audacity is, don't you? You've heard that word. Want to say it with me? Amote. Amote. Amotkezi. Shame on you. Just as Jesus is saying, be a pest, he's saying, amotkezi. Go for it. Are you going to go to your neighbor at midnight? No way. Chalar. Amote. What we hesitate to do with our neighbors, we're even worse with God. What do we say when someone asks us to pray? Is there anything I can pray for you about? No, not really. We're so demure. No, that's okay. No, I don't need anything. Don't we do that? How can I pray for you? I've got nothing. Really? Nothing we can pray for? Nothing? Oh no, we have so much to pray for, but we're shy. And we think it's amot. We think it's shameful. We think it's shameful even just to let it leak out. Jesus is saying, knock on the door. Don't let him go to sleep again. Get your, and your neighbor is going to come. Now, do you think that that's because this is what God's like? Let's keep going, because I think he's trying to make a contrast. So, since I've told you this story and you know that there's no way any neighbor would turn you down, but because you're not going to give up, so I say to you, verse 9, ask and it will be given you. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Okay, the reason they should pray like he taught them, our Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, provide our daily bread, forgive our sins, keep us from temptation, is because God is nothing like the person. And even if he was, he'd open the door. Ask and it will, look at this promise. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And then he repeats himself. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open. Jesus is trying to get our attention. He's not just talking and talking and talking. If we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Now again, I want to just make sure we get something. God is not a vending machine. We talked about this last week. You don't fast and pop the quarter in and you open it up and you get your Doritos. That's not how it works. Fasting expresses our desire to see spiritual realities enter into the physical realm. And when he says, pray, he promises you'll receive. Now, anybody remember the old Garth Brooks song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? This was years ago, probably 20 years ago. Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. He shows up at his high school football game, sees his high school sweetheart from, who knows, 20 years ago, we'll say, and what does he sing out? Thank God for unanswered prayer. Okay, God is not a vending machine, and aren't you glad he is smarter than you are and smarter than I am? I thank him. I really do believe that in heaven, there's, I don't know if it's going to be a moment or a room, or I don't know exactly how it's going to turn, but I think we're going to have the opportunity to thank him for saying no. I mean, should we have a holiday, another Thanksgiving holiday for the thanks? Thank you, Lord, for not doing what we asked you for. I might need two of those. Think about that. Our God is wise. Our God is good. He says no. He says not yet. He says I have something better. So pray. Knock. He's not asleep. Remember, we know that. He's not like the neighbor who's asleep. Psalm 121 says that he does not slumber or sleep. He hasn't fallen asleep once on the job since before creation, and he's not going to fall asleep now. He is good. He's gracious. His arms are open wide. And so he says, so I want you to pray. And if it's not enough that he's given this absurd example of the neighbor who's going to give you what you need, even if you can't, he gives another one. And he says, now, which of you fathers? Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Now, no doubt, there are some fathers who would do something like this. That when their child expresses a desire, and we've seen it, we're dumbfounded. It's like, are you kidding? Your child asked you for that, and you gave this? And you've heard your children come home with stories, and you're speechless. And see, that's the point. Only the worst fathers on planet Earth do something like this. Oh, a fish? You want a fish? Oh, here, how about this snake? Don't let it bite you. Here, you would an egg? Oh, you'd like an egg? Here, look at this little ball. Scorpions can roll up in little balls. Here, have a scorpion. Watch what happens when it uncoils. I love how he says it. If you then, though you are evil, you wouldn't even do those things, but you're evil. You're not always good to your children. None of our parents were perfect. And that's why Levy speaks of our Father who is in heaven. If we know how to give good gifts, why don't we think God will? Why do we give up in prayer? Now, again, God may say no. We may never be able to, understand why a prayer went unanswered. But if we know how to give good gifts, why don't we at least attribute human goodness to God? See, why do I, at close to 60, need to learn how to pray? Let's not blame my parents. Why haven't I caught on until now about the need to pray, to genuinely pray, and not just shove in 3 minutes here or maybe before a meal, before I fall asleep? Why is that? And again, I hope this isn't just applicable to me. I imagine every one of us can grow in the area of prayer. Why don't we expect God to be good? Why aren't we prayerful? Why aren't we expecting? Why aren't we steadfast? Why aren't we trusting? Maybe it's our disappointments. Maybe because we attribute to God not human goodness, but human evil. Alexander the Great, the story is told, of a general of his asking him to sponsor his son's wedding. And so Alexander tells the treasurer, whatever he asks, give it to him. And the treasurer comes back to him and says, whoa, 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 you don't understand what this guy wants. He wants a 7-day wedding, feasting from dawn to way beyond to midnight. This is going to cost so much money. You have to tell him no. The response attributed to Alexander the Great is, do exactly what he says. Because by his request, he honors me. By his request, he honors me. Have you honored God lately? Or are you asking him for maybe not a full egg, maybe just the egg white? Have you honored God by a request lately? Have you continued to honor him by continuing to pray? You've probably heard this before, but when it says, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. It doesn't refer to a single action. It's a continuous, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. I won't give you a Greek lesson, but anyway, that's what it means. It's to keep on doing it. Well, no, I prayed about that. And sometimes we're even so odd, or I'm so odd, I'll say, well, the Apostle Paul prayed 3 times, and God told him no, and so then he stopped. So I pray three times? Actually, that's my go-to when I'm asking for something. The kids always laugh at me, because I'll ask for something from somebody. It's like, can we have this? No. But can we have this? No. I said no to you. And they always look at me like, Dad, you're going to do it 3 times, right? And it's ridiculous. How many human beings will say yes if you just hold out 3 times? I'll tell you, if you pray, God has no problem letting you know that the answer is no. Paul prayed 3 times for this thorn to be removed, and God told him no. My grace is sufficient for you. If God wants you to stop praying for something, I believe he will communicate it clearly, and he will let you know that his grace is sufficient for you, that power is made perfect in weakness. He will do that. So let's let him tell us when to stop, not when we get bored or tired. See, he says, if you, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will he give not just good gifts, but the Holy Spirit? But wait a minute, I received the Holy Spirit when I trusted in Christ. Yes, you did. God makes it very clear that when someone trusts in Christ, they receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit creates a relationship that we use the language of comes to live within us. I mean, he doesn't live in my left ventricle. I now have a spiritual relationship with the living God. But Jesus says he will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. Have you asked for the Holy Spirit? Have you asked for his presence, for his power, for his strength? Do you know that when you pray for healing, you are asking for the Holy Spirit to come and rearrange molecules and cells to bring healing? Do you know that when you ask for God to provide something, that you are asking that the Holy Spirit be involved even in your boss's life? Wait, does he do that? God gets involved, and he does it by his Spirit. Would you please join me in this coming year saying, God, would you please give me your Spirit? Would you give me your Spirit? May I experience your Spirit more fully? Would you just simply, if you don't want to pray that for yourself, would you at least pray that for me? And would you keep on asking? Would you keep on seeking? Would you keep on knocking? Because he is so unlike the neighbor. He wants us to be amot. Shameless in our prayers. Be a pest. Ask him. And keep asking. And keep asking. And keep asking. Let him say no. Be a pest. Be prayerful. Be expectant. Be steadfast. And be trusting. Amen. Please stand to receive the benediction. Yevhima merder Jesus Christos ishnorka, horas zosera, yev sur pokvuin har taksutyuna. Mer amnun hed Allah. And now may our good, good Father, the one who loves us, whose arms are open wide, who invites us to pray, may he convince you that he's listening and that he's ready to answer. Amen.